everybody. So I just got off the phone with Coach Heather. I had a little freak out moment there. I couldn't get the Zoom to start. It wasn't letting me in the room. So sorry, didn't mean to make you panic. I hope if anybody knows if anybody left, tell them to come back. I'm here. I'm here. Okay, I'm Coach Christie. Sorry about that, everybody. It's never done that to me before. I've never had trouble. So there you go. Just when you think you have all your technology together, I'm glad it's you and not me. Yeah, totally. Me too. Me too. I'm glad it's me too. Okay, let's see. I'm opening my chat. Let me change my stuff. I'm going to pull up Coach Heather. She's here with us tonight. She saved my bacon. So I appreciate it. Everybody, I'm Coach Christy. If this is your first time here on the maintenance call, welcome. Welcome, everybody. Happy Tuesday. I'm still trying to rename myself. Okay, there we go. Coach Christy. Oh, thanks for the love, everybody. Like, I always get nervous, and then like to have stuff go wrong is just even more nerve-wracking. So it's annoying. Hi from Nashville. Hi from Oregon. Hi, Christy. Hi, Julie. Good to see you. Yippee. I thought my Zoom. Well, see, yeah, that's what it was. You were having problems with your Zoom. It wasn't me. Okay. Heather's got her hand raised. I'm gonna pull her up. Heather's coming on stage. Promote to panelists. Okay, so Heather will be in the Q&A, answering some questions if you guys have any. But I'm also, this is just open coaching for those of us that are in maintenance. If you're pretty close to maintenance and you'd like to get some coaching too, that counts. So it's just raise your hand. But as people are coming in, I just kind of wanted to talk about a few things. I'm always thinking about like how to help y'all, and I get good ideas from, what I see going on in the Facebook group. And so I thought we could talk tonight a little bit about how to use your doubt that you may or may not be having about being able to keep your weight off and stay in maintenance. I thought we could talk a little bit about how to use your doubt to actually build confidence, which I know seems kind of weird because usually when we think about being doubtful about our ability to do something, we don't associate that with actually helping us become confident in our ability to do something. But I just thought it would be an interesting spin on it. So yeah, okay. So I think one of the coolest things about using doubt to build confidence is actually very specific to our maintenance group, in that one of the biggest benefits I think that No BS gives us for those of us that are in maintenance is they give us a platform to see successful maintainers. And so for those of you that post in the maintenance group when you're struggling, thank you for doing that, because this community that we've built has been super, super helpful for myself. And for those of you that post and comment that are successful maintainers and give advice and cheerlead, the members that struggle, I just really appreciate that. So I think part of using our doubt to build our confidence is knowing when to reach out and ask for help, and just communicate with others that you are doubting and you would like some good advice. So I think the importance of modeling successful people in achieving and sustaining success cannot be understated. So thank you for those of you that do that and stick in this membership to be leaders for those people that are new to maintenance and have questions. I definitely believe, especially in weight loss, that learning from other people's success and experience, especially in weight loss and specifically maintenance, is just invaluable. So I love Corinne quotes this in the maintenance course, the Tony Robbins quote that says, successful people leave cute clues, which I think is true, right? And so we as maintainers, we want to look at successful people that are doing it, and we want to see what clues they've left for us. And it's so cool because that we have the Facebook platform, we actually don't even have to look for the clues. We can just ask them, which is really awesome. So, I mean, this might seem super, super obvious, but I think the first step that maintainers take in using their doubt to build confidence is they acknowledge and they are aware of their doubt. I know that seems really obvious, but this speaks to being able to hear your thinking and or know when you're feeling doubt. Like, I mean, I don't know about y'all, but I can kind of tell by how my physical body feels when I'm in a doubtful experience. Like, it just feels heavy. It feels a little bit like anxiety in me. Like, it feels very buzzy. Like, I get nervous when I start thinking about the scale or my ability to maintain or keep losing or something like that. So it seems kind of silly to say, but I think the first step in being able to use doubt to build confidence is acknowledging when you're experiencing it, right? Just that, building that awareness and then actually learning to address it. So when I think about addressing my self-doubt, I think about using it for something. So whenever I like encounter a, what some would call like a negative experience, like an overeat or, you know, seeing the scale tick up or something like that, I try to ask myself, what is this negative experience giving me an opportunity to do? So if you have an awareness of when you're experiencing self-doubt, which we would typically categorize as like a negative experience, if you asked yourself, okay, what is this self-doubt giving me an opportunity to do? Well, in the case of those of us that are in maintenance, we want to look at our self-doubt as an opportunity for us to reassure ourselves about our abilities to stay in maintenance. So your self-doubt is really just your habit brain using your past failures to predict your future. And so when we are doubting ourselves, it's just our habit brains making predictions about how things are going to end up based on our past and how they've happened before. So if you're new to maintenance, this, you might be experiencing this because you've never been in it before. You've never maintained it for, if you're like me, I swear to God, the first time I ever hit maintenance, I was in there for like a hot second, like 1 minute I was in maintenance. Although it was back when I did Weight Watchers, I lost like 107 pounds in Weight Watchers. And you had to, I think you had to be like, does anybody remember, how long did you have to be in maintenance in Weight Watchers before you got like lifetime, whatever that means? Was it like 6 weeks or something like that? I don't know. Whatever it was, you were supposed to be in maintenance for like, 6 weeks. Thanks, Diane. It was like 6 weeks you had to be in maintenance. And that was like the longest white knuckling 6 weeks of my life. I was like, can you just give it to me now? Because I don't know how long I'm going to be able to hold on to this. But, you know, our past, you know, our habit brain just likes to use our past to predict our future. So if you're new to maintenance and you're experiencing doubt, this is just your habit brain, like trying to, it wants certainty about the future. So it just uses your past to sort of predict what's going to happen. So this is our opportunity to come in and like partner up with that doubt and use our conscious brain to reassure ourselves about our current ability. So how do we do that? Well, if you're new to maintenance, I just want to say this. It's not important. It's not required. Let me say it that way. It's not required to believe that you will keep your weight off. That's actually not a requirement. What I would say would be the more accessible thought is to believe that it's possible for you, that maintenance is possible. And when I was thinking about that, I was thinking about our Facebook group and I was like, okay, well, we can believe it's possible because we have maintainers in our Facebook group who are regularly maintaining and have been maintaining for a long time that are still here in No BS. So if we don't believe that, oh, I'm definitely 100%, I'm totally got this, I'm never going to gain my weight back, it's totally great. Like, can we just at least believe, you know what, it might just be possible for me. And that might just be the leveled up thought that opens the door to turn the temperature down just a little bit on that doubt. So believing that it's possible for you is the first step. And then I want you to put your faith in a few things. I want you to put your faith in why it's possible for you. So once you practice the thought, you know what, maintenance might just be possible for me, then I want you to ask yourself, why is it possible? Like, why do you think that? And this is when you go to all the new skills that you've learned in No BS, all the support that you have, your ability to see your thinking in real time, your commitment to weighing yourself regularly so you'll see the uptick in weight if it ever were to happen as it comes in. You're not just going to wake up one day and be up 20 pounds, right? Like, you'll see it coming. You want to be able to trust in the process that got your weight off to begin with. This is why it's so important that you lose your weight the way you want to live it. I think that actually used to be some other diet's tagline, didn't it? I don't know, but it's true, right? And we preach it here in No BS. Make sure you're losing your weight the way you want to live the rest of your life. Because when you get to maintenance, that's going to be one of the pillars that helps you build your confidence, is that you love the way that you were eating and what you were doing to lose your weight. So why would you ever stop doing it, right? So that's the second thing. So the first one is believing that weight loss is possible for you, and then telling yourself, why is it possible for me? What's different this time, right? And then it's trusting that process that got you to lose your weight in the first place. And then the last thing, and this is probably the most important, and I think a lot of us learn this hopefully as we lost our weight, but the last thing is that you will believe in yourself and your ability to keep showing up no matter what. And there's a section in the maintenance course about fearing regains and like what to do if you regain. And one of the things we teach in the regain section is, no matter what, you're not going to give up. You're not going to go back. So if you regain some weight, it's okay, because you know how to lose it and you'll stick with it until you figure it out. So that's the third thing that I want you to think about when you're using doubt to actually build belief. Another thing that helps us sort of build confidence when we have doubt is redefining our habits. And this is sort of a transition that some of you that have been maintaining for a while, a transition that some of you may have gone through. You know, when we're losing our weight, sometimes we just think about our habits. We're like, you know, like Corinne will say, well, what's your why for doing this habit? And you're like, well, because I want to lose weight. This is going to help the scale go down. And that's all well and good. But if you're not thinking about why you're doing something other than weight loss, you might struggle when you're in maintenance. So let's say, for example, you've been planning your food, and the only reason you're planning your food is because it helps you stick to what you say you're going to do, and that's just really important for weight loss. Well, once you hit your goal weight, what's your reason for planning still if you're not losing weight anymore because of that? So it's really important to redefine your habits that you built during your weight loss journey and think about them as like shifting that view from habits as tools for weight loss to now they're just really integral components of my very fulfilling life. Planning my food, getting my water in, paying attention to like if I'm hungry, when I've had enough. This is just part of the fabric of my being. This is not like something I was just doing to lose weight. Like fall in love with it. Like a couple years ago, I think we did a whole thing in February called Loving the Process. And it was a really good month of like really defining how to fall in love with your habits. So when you got to maintenance, there was no reason to stop doing them. Yeah. Okay. And then how do we do that? Like, how do we fall in love with the process? How do we shift that mindset from, oh, I was just doing these habits to lose weight, and now I'm doing them because I just love them. We journal, we journal. We fall in love with our habits. We think on purpose. We remind ourselves every day in our journal, why am I showing up this way today? Why am I making a plan today? Why am I paying attention to doable hunger, right? Why am I doing these things today that has nothing to do with weight loss? And that's kind of deliberate thinking, because I'm going to guess if y'all are like me, none of the diets that I ever did in the past taught me to fall in love with the process. They just said, here's the process. And most of the time it was fucking terrible. So I really wasn't going to fall in love with it. I was just white knuckling, right? And so, you know, I love that at No BS we teach you that, like, this is why we say plan the food you love, right? Not plan what you think you should be eating, because we know that we have to fall in love with what we're eating, how we're eating it, so that when we get to maintenance, it becomes easy. Okay. So I've got a couple hands raised. So I want to get to some coaching. think about if y'all have any questions about anything that I've said, or if, you know, you want to talk about it further, consider raising your hand. We've got two hands raised. So I'm just going to pull up Elizabeth because I saw your hand first. I do have a little bit of a homework assignment at the end. It's going to be a fun one. So, hang on until the end of the call so you can hear what the homework assignment is. It's going to be a good one. I will be doing it myself too. Okay. I'm pulling Elizabeth up here. Let's see. Hopefully she's coming. Yes, here she is.
Oh, thank you. I'm new to the maintenance group.
Oh, hi. So, welcome, Elizabeth. It's so good to see you.
It's good to see you. I'm excited. So I've been in maintenance about 3 months. I'm fairly new to No BS, but okay. I was losing weight on a different program and then joined this to help maintain. And okay. I've been maintaining the weight easily, but I pretty much was avoiding flour and sugar, except for some exceptions. And okay. So I've been slowly adding them back in, but okay. I do like the way I feel off of it. So I don't eat it a lot, okay. But I've been adding it back in. Mostly the sugar is what I've kind of missed. So I've okay. been adding it back in, and I've had a few overeats. Okay. And I had an overeat today, and I was hoping to try to like figure out what's behind that, because okay. I'm a little bit stuck.
Okay. Well, tell me about the overeat.
So I had a super busy morning at work, had my afternoon off, and then I'm actually going back into work. And so I started off with just what I planned, which was a big salad and some, a chicken leg and thigh. Mm-hmm. And then I had this question in my mind, is it enough food? Should I eat something else? Mm-hmm. And so I thought about it. I thought about making some air popped popcorn that I just enjoy eating. Mm-hmm. But I'm not sure I was really hungry. So I thought about that. And then for some reason, I decided to eat one of my daughter's old like peanut butter cups from Halloween candy. Mm-hmm. And then I had a second one. Mm-hmm. And then I had about a third of a pint of ice cream that I had left over. And in mm-hmm. the end, I wound up eating the third of a pint of ice cream, maybe five little fun size chocolates mm-hmm. and a small cookie.
Okay.
And none of that was needed. I don't know what made me keep going back to getting more.
Okay.
I'm not quite sure, except I was planning on going on a walk after to get my steps in that I like to do. And I love my walk. Mm-hmm. But I think part of me wanted to postpone that. I'm not sure if that was really what it was. But ever since then, now I did my walk after. I walked a little slower because I was a little overly full. And since then, I've been exhausted. I'm definitely in the sugar low.
Okay. So
one of the reasons I love not eating sugar.
Okay. Okay.
More energy.
Okay. Okay. So this is great. So this is really cool. So first of all, let me just give you 100% props that you are actually investigating this and not just like going sweep, sweep, sweep under the rug. Like, cause that's really important, right? Like that tells me that you really want to learn from this experience. You want to understand it, which is really going to help you move forward. Okay. So how long have you been in No BS?
I joined sometime, I think the end of December.
Okay. Okay. So let me ask you this. So what do you do for a living?
I'm an OBGYN.
Okay. OBGYN. So you worked in the morning and then you were home in the afternoon and then you were going back in the evening.
Yeah.
Is that something you do often?
I do. Yeah. Okay. So it's not, in fact, it's nice to have the afternoon off. A lot of times I'll just work all day and then work all night.
Okay.
So it was actually nice to have the break.
Okay. Okay. Were you looking forward to going back in the evening?
Yeah. I mean, I do it so much that uh-huh. I don't think I'm stressed about going in.
Okay. Okay.
I think a big part of it is for whatever reason, I didn't feel like going on the walk. And I don't know why, because I love my walks.
Yeah. What did you want to be doing instead of going on the walk?
I don't know, because I don't think it was anything conscious. I think it was subconscious that I was just delaying it. I mean, when I thought about the popcorn, I really do like eating popcorn with a little salt and olive oil. Uh-huh. And I do probably eat it for more than just hunger. It's just sort of a comfort and just something to do.
Right.
But I've been eating more of it in maintenance than I was when I was losing weight, and I'm doing fine with it. So I don't know that's necessarily a problem.
It might not be. It might not be. You just have to ask yourself, do I want to investigate if this was an emotional reason for eating? And if it was, is this something that I want to work on? It may not be.
I mean, obviously the overeat was like, I didn't need all of that. I wasn't even planning on having a sweet. Yeah. But I do want to get myself used to eating it more often, so I don't feel like I need to keep eating.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So when you were eating the sweets, what were you doing?
I was just sitting at the kitchen counter.
Sitting at the kitchen counter. Now, did you make the popcorn or not? Tell me. No.
No, I didn't. I ended up starting with the sweets, and then I had the sweets instead of the popcorn.
And what were you doing when you ate the ice cream?
What's that? It was all just at the kitchen counter. So it started off with just a little bit of the chocolate. And then I thought, oh, let me have one scoop of, I've had this pint of ice cream in the freezer for probably a month and a half, 2 months. And so I thought, well, let me have a little scoop of it. Yeah. And then I thought, well, there's so little left. Let me just finish what's in the pint. Mm-hmm. And then, well, I've had this, let me have just one more. And what's at this? And then it was one of those, well, I've eaten so much.
Yes.
Might as well have one more.
Yeah. So you know exactly why you did what you did.
Well, right? I got to a point where I just thought, I've blown it. I might as well keep eating.
Yes.
But I know in my head doesn't make sense.
No. Listen, don't judge yourself now, right? Because see, now that I'm talking to you, Elizabeth, I'm talking to like conscious Elizabeth right now, right?
Yeah.
So like you, since this is probably your first maintenance call, I have a guy that lives in my head. His name is Steve, and he's my habit brain. He's the one that is the negotiator and the justifier, right? Like he's the one that's running like 95% of my day. And so he's the one that would also say the things that your brain said to you. Your habit brain said to you like, oh, you've already messed up. And I want you to see the first domino thought that I caught for you was probably when you said, well, I do want to start normalizing these things. So I'm wondering if that wasn't your first justification with the Reese cup, the little mini Reese cup from Halloween, is like, oh, well, you know, I do actually want to start working on this. So it's the perfect time.
I've also noticed I've been adding in more sweets and I haven't seen my weight affected.
Oh, so you feel like you're getting weight.
Kind of like I'm lower than what my target weight was. And so sort of I'm trying out this range, but it's lower than what I actually planned on, you know, getting to as my maintenance. And I'm at the lower end of it now. So I do kind of feel like I've got this.
Yeah. And this is actually great, right? This is actually not a problem because now you've discovered like, wow, I can actually include some of these foods and still maintain my weight. That's fantastic. Right. So the only issue we're having now is that you're doing it behind your back a little bit.
Yeah.
So can we just put it in front of our face and plan these things?
Yeah. I haven't been planning the sweets and I'd really like to. And I have a date night on Saturday where I'd like to have something. And taking my daughter to a birthday party, which I've always just avoided any of the food at kids' birthday parties. Because it's never been on my plan and I thought it wasn't worth it.
Yeah.
And I may ignore it again, but if they actually have a good quality cake or cupcake, I want to be able to have.
I love this so much because here's all that I think needs to happen for you, Elizabeth, is now we just need to plan these foods and design the way you want it to look. So like, for example, if you really do want to start incorporating some of these foods, let's spend a little time on the front end, kind of designing how we might want this to look. And you get to decide. There's no right or wrong way. Like maybe you're a person who says, you know what? I want to have a little something sweet like that every day. And I'm going to do it after lunch. I'm going to have a little something. And the beauty of being in maintenance, sometimes depending on the quantity of what that is, we don't even necessarily have to be hungry for it because we're in maintenance. We might be able to just have a Reese cup after lunch every day. I'm not really hungry for it, but I can have it. I can still maintain my weight and I'm fine with that. So this is really just about you designing how you want this to be and then planning for that. So I love what you were saying about going to the birthday party and going like, okay, well, I might decide that none of this is worth it. And that's great. But I also might really decide if it's really worth it, I'm going to do X. And yeah. Then it's just about you planning out what that is. So like for your date night, you said you might want to have something. Like, what does that look like for you?
Yeah, it really, so part of that depends where we go and what we end up getting. And if I'm really tempted by a dessert or not, I've sort of don't care as much about adding in the flour. So I will have tortillas because I love fajitas and I've done that many times, but going for pasta, I can kind of just,
it's not important to you.
No, eventually I'll want to have it, but I'd rather splurge on a dessert over a pasta.
So there you go. So right now, you know that dessert is where you would want to put your sweet treat, right? That's where you want to put it. Okay, so now you know. And I want to just go back to something you said earlier. You said, if I'm tempted. And when we say things like, if I'm tempted, that almost puts us in like the passenger seat, like it's just going to happen to us. And I just want you to see that you have a little bit of agency there. And that agency happens when you decide beforehand what it's going to look like. And this is why it's really important. Like we teach planning, even when you get into maintenance, it's really important to think through how you want to show up and then fall in love with that plan all day long. Like, let's say, for example, you're going out to, I see your kitty cat. Hi, kitty cat. You're going out to dinner and you know where the restaurant is. So you go ahead and pick what you're going to have for your entree. And then you're like, ooh, and I'm going to have this dessert and I'm super excited about it. So I'm not going to do like the rolls that they bring at the table beforehand. That just doesn't even matter. So then all day long, you're thinking, I can't wait to have that dessert. That's the most important part of the meal for me. I'm really looking forward to that. The rolls don't even matter. So then when they bring the rolls, guess what? You're less likely to be tempted because your brain is already thinking the dessert is what I'm looking forward to. These rolls, I can eat anytime, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I can definitely, you know, look at the menu once we decide where we're going. Now, what trips me up a little bit is I felt so much better off of flour and sugar, and my cholesterol's gone down, my blood sugar's gone down, that I have this little voice in my head saying I shouldn't be eating the flour and sugar because it's hurting my health. So that's where I want to add it back in. But I hear this little voice saying, you shouldn't eat it. You're so much healthier without it. Don't you care about your health and, you know, being around a long time for your daughter?
Yeah. Well, and
so
this
that's
is,
sort
this,
of that
this
little
is what I,
other voice.
Yeah, this is the same kind of idea, Elizabeth. Like, you can decide that you want to keep, you want to not eat flour and sugar, that you really like that lifestyle and that you love all the benefits. The only, the way that you would do that, the way that you would continue on that path is you would every day practice deliberate thinking about why you're choosing that. Every day, you would have to every day go, and this is why I'm eating this way. You would make your plan and you would say, and this is why I'm choosing this. And then all day long, every time you sat down, you'd say, and this is why I'm choosing this. Because when we feel like we should do something, it's because we feel like we say those things because we think we should, but we want to move into a I'm choosing. Right?
Yeah,
you shouldn't eat, you know, you shouldn't eat, you know, you shouldn't skip flour and sugar, but you might choose to, right?
Yeah.
Or there's other options. Like, listen, I don't think there's many of us that would disagree that, you know, eating, you know, lots of salads and vegetables is good for us. Most of us would agree that that's probably good for us. And I bet most doctors, I mean, you're a doctor or a nurse, right?
Yeah, I'm a doctor.
Yeah, you're a doctor. So probably most doctors would say, if I could have all my patients eat in an ideal way, this is what it would look like, right? But the truth of the matter is we're all human, right? And so most of us aren't going to eat in the ideal way as a mainstay. So I think for the average person, at least in No BS, it's a much more accessible way to eat if we find a little bit of a gray area. But then we have to remind ourselves, right? So if this is something, because I'm getting sort of mixed, you know, like part of you is like, I want to start introducing some of these things. So then I'm offering you, what you want to do is design what you want that to look like, including your thoughts about eating this way, maybe most of the time.
Yeah.
I'm inviting you to decide what your gray area looks like.
Yeah. I guess I just need to think more about it.
Yeah.
I want to add it back in enough that I don't overeat it, but then kind of taper it down.
Right. And so
maybe two to three times a week max is, I think.
Yeah.
My and long-term so this is plan. What I do want to be healthier than I was before.
Yes.
But I don't know how to do it just two to three times a week without overeating.
Okay. So here's what I want you to think about. If the action is overeat sweets, if that's the action, right?
Yeah.
There's something that you feel right before that action that leads to it. So when you're overeating sweets, you gave me a bunch of feelings that you were having when you were talking about doing it earlier today. And then you gave me a few thoughts that you had too. Do you remember some of the thoughts that you were having?
Yeah.
What were some of the thoughts?
Just that I've already blown it, so I might as well eat more.
Right. Right. So see your thoughts. I've already blown it. I might as well eat more. When you think that thought, what do you feel when you think that?
Just resigned.
Yeah. Resigned. Like, oh, well, right. And then that leads to the action of overeating. Right. And here's what's really cool. Because you knew that you were thinking that, the thought, I've already blown it, that's optional. You actually don't have to think that. What else could you have thought in that moment after you ate two or three of those sweet things? What could you have thought?
Just, oh, that was, you know, I wasn't, that's more than I planned on. I think it's time to stop.
Yeah. Yeah. There's no such thing as blowing it.
Yeah.
We don't blow it in OBS, right? Everything we do, the overeating, is all for a very good reason. It's our job to just understand what that was, right? And so what your mistake, remember how I said at the top of the call that negative situations are always giving us an opportunity to learn something and do something? Mm-hmm. This overeat that you had, look what it revealed. It revealed that you think once you're already down a path, it's too late to save the day. This is really good to know about you, right?
Yeah.
And all of us.
It's infrequent. So I've only had maybe three or four overeat. Yeah. So 90%+ of the time I can have a small amount and stop.
Yeah.
So it's hard to know when I'm gonna overeat because it's not often.
Well, you know when you're gonna overeat is when you're telling yourself, I've already blown it, I might as well. That's
well, but I had overeaten before then. I really, my plan was one little chocolate pumpkin.
So what was the thought after the first one?
I think it's just so good. I'd like some more.
Mm-hmm.
Or, ice cream that's been in the freezer so long, it's starting to crystallize.
Look at your Steve. See, that's what my Steve does. My Steve totally starts justifying. Like, well, we need to hurry up and eat this because it's going to go bad. Right? So here's a little tip. I always tell myself this. Whenever I start to negotiate or justify, I know I'm about to make a decision that I'm going to regret.
Okay.
So when you catch yourself going, well, I should, it's okay. I had a salad. Like, it's fine. Like when you start feeling that ping pong of negotiation and justifying, that's you are on the road to make a decision that you're about to regret.
Okay. I think too, like most of my overeats are in the kitchen. I think I just have a sweet, I eat it and I leave.
Love
because
that.
I really don't stop until I physically leave the kitchen.
Yes. Yes. So see, look at all of this. You're learning from this one experience.
Yeah.
You have a little bit of all or nothing thinking still going on, right? Because here's the thing. And Corinne teaches us this, right? Especially for like our bingers, you know, our people that are bingers, even if you can leave one chip in the bag of an entire bag of chips that you might have gone through, that's a skill. right? Because for those of us that have done, you know, restrictive diets or diets that have eliminated whole food groups or anything like that, the ability to leave one chip in the bag that we've eaten the whole bag of, that's challenging, right? Because that's the point where all of us say, well, it's just one, like, who cares? I've already blown it, right? So being able to stop yourself in the middle of something, once you've gotten that momentum going, man, yeah, that's a skill that we all need, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's a thought that can help you in that moment when you're thinking, well, I've already blown it. Look at me. I've already eaten 7 things, right? 7 things is not, is better than 20 things. So at any point, even if you left one chip in the bag, it may not make a difference calorically, but man, does it make a difference in the feeling of self-control.
Yeah. And I think if I had paused, it probably would have ended too.
Oh, girl, listen, we cannot sing the power of the praises of the pause enough. The pause is everything in weight loss because it creates the space for us to have the conversation.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So even just pausing, if you eat like 3 things, just be like, you know what? I can keep going totally, but let me just pause for 2 minutes and think about this. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I love this for you. But I want you to think about this, like how can we take this stuff from this call and apply it for you? Like now, I want you to really think about, what do you want sweets and flour and sugar? What do you want those things to look like in your life? I want you to design it. I want you to write it out. Don't do it in your head. I want you to be like, here's what I think it would be a little bit of the gray area for me, but would also meet my need for wanting to eat in a way that supports my body and the way that makes me feel good, but also allows me to be a little bit human. Like, figure out what you want that to look like and then start planning accordingly.
Yeah.
And then remind yourself that this is your choice to do this way, do these things, right? Okay. Give yourself permission to enjoy the dessert on Valentine's, right?
Yeah.
Reminding yourself that you're a really balanced eater and it's okay to eat this way in the way that you figured out is best for you.
Okay.
Does that sound good?
Yes. Thank you so much.
Okay. Will you tag me and let me know how Valentine's goes? I'll be dying to know.
Yeah, I will.
Good. All right. Thank you. Take care, Elizabeth. And thank you for all you're doing for all the little babies of the world. We appreciate you.
Thanks.
All right. Take care, hon. All right. Okay. So good. Right. I mean, I forgot to tell Elizabeth. So if you're still on, Elizabeth, hear this. There is a section in the maintenance course, and it's escaping me now exactly where it is, but it is specifically geared for people that come to No BS after having lost their weight in a different program. So Elizabeth, if you haven't done the maintenance course, please go through it, because there's a whole section about that, that talks specifically about when we start reintroducing foods that maybe on whatever diet you were doing that you lost your weight with, you know, didn't allow those foods, that it's normal to expect to overeat them in the beginning. Because when we come from such a restrictive place, and some of you might be experiencing this right now, when we come from such a restrictive place, we've created and we're triggering scarcity thinking in our brains. And then of course you come to No BS and you hear Corinne say, you can eat whatever you want. You can eat, you know, all the food you enjoy. And so our brains hear that. But then when we introduce the food to our brain, it's like, holy shit, she's eating Reese's cups and ice cream. Pretty sure she's going to be taking this away, because the only way she's ever eaten this before is if it was a cheat day. And that only happens once a month or some crazy stuff. So our scarcity is triggered, right? And so then when we're eating the food, our brain is thinking the whole time, she's going to take it away. She's going to take it away. And that's what leads to the overeating. So when we are introducing these foods, we want to be sure and create safety and abundance before, during, and after eating them. We want to think before, okay, I'm getting ready to have ice cream. I haven't had it in a while. Don't forget, we're going to plan this several times this month. There's plenty of ice cream. I'm never taking this away again. While we're eating it, we need to pay attention to how we're feeling and calm ourselves down. Eat it slowly. Give yourself permission to enjoy every bite, right? Allow yourself that emotional enjoyment of it. And then when you're finished, you say things like, that was the perfect amount. I'm looking forward to when I'm having something like this again, right? This takes deliberate thinking. It's work, y'all, but it's worth it. It's work, but it's worth it. Okay. Anna Hammer Lee, here you come. All right, promote to panelist. So yeah, Elizabeth, go back and for those of you, there might be others of you that haven't taken the maintenance course, be sure you go back and work your way through that. It's super, super good, super helpful. Okay, Anna. Hi, I can't see you, Anna. Can you start your camera?
I am trying to find out where that is.
Yeah, I don't know. Listen, don't ask me for technology advice. I screwed it up.
There we go.
Hey, Anna, nice Hello. To see you.
Good to see you too. Thanks for taking my raised hand.
I love it.
So I guess where I'm at is I don't really have any doubt about being able to maintain. I'm not quite to my goal range. I'm 10 to 12 pounds within that range. I do have some doubt about getting into that last bit. I had some doubt back in July when I went to camp and I was just and spoke to a couple coaches and have continued on the course. And I'm about 8 to 10 pounds lower than what I was in July. So I have continued to lose weight, but it's, you know, kind of at a snail's pace a little bit. And so I've kind of wanted to try to speed that process up a little bit. So I've increased my step count over the last 3 weeks from about 7,500 to my goal was 8,000, but I'm really hitting like 10 to 12,000 because I incorporated running a few weeks, probably about 3 weeks ago. And I've done one race and I'm getting ready to do another. So with that being said, the scale is going in the opposite direction, even though I'm increased my activity and it's gone up about 4 pounds in the last 3 weeks. And when I look at the average, it's more like neutralized at around 2 pounds, but it's kind of been trending in the wrong direction. So I'm just kind of not, I mean, that wasn't the goal to have to trend in the wrong direction.
Yeah. Right. Okay. So this is why. So I'm like, congrats on your running and your races. That's so exciting. I do races, but mostly just depending on what the t-shirt looks like. So there you go.
Yeah. My first one.
Like, that's cute. I want to do that one because the shirt is cute. Yeah. Okay. So this is why in NoBS, we don't promote activity as a way to lose weight, right? Because it doesn't work. Because if it did, I'd be like this. Because I love to work out. Like I love it. Coach Heather can tell you, I never miss a workout. I take it with me on vacation, right? So what I want to ask you, Anna, is what do your overeats say? Like, what does your data say about your
85%
eating? Lost 85%.
I'm at 85% for eating when hungry and stopping at enough.
Okay.
And like my water intake, I'm at 71%. I'm at 84 ounces or more. I'm usually closer to 100.
Okay. Good. Yeah, so. Okay. And how does that relate to how you were in the past? Were you always around the 85%?
I've been at 85 ounces of water to 100.
For the doable hunger, for the waiting for hunger and stopping.
I mean, I pretty much sometimes 71%, but somewhere in that like 1 to 2 a week.
Okay. Okay. In your increase of activity, have you increased like strength training or anything like that? Has anything changed in that arena?
I mean, I think my workouts are always progressively overloaded. So I do strength training 3 times a week and I do it with a personal trainer. So okay. I'm always getting progressive overload when it comes to my strength training. Okay. So yes, it's gotten, you know, more, but it's always more. Okay. When you have somebody pushing you, it's always more.
Yeah. Okay. So that could be the culprit as well, since it's only been 2 weeks, you said, right? 2 weeks that the scale has
taken up? That's kind of was my question. Should I just give it another week or two to see if things start going in the direction that I would like before changing anything?
Okay, before we commit to that, let's do a little bit more investigating. Cause I mean, possibly, but let's keep digging just a little bit. Okay. So what has anything changed in like the amount of times per day that you're eating? Like, are you snacking now when you weren't before?
Occasionally I might have a snack in the afternoon. Most of the time I'm pretty much 3 meals. I close the kitchen in the evening after dinner. I would say the timing has changed maybe a little bit, like with running and stuff. Like I might be hungry earlier in the morning, but I don't really feel like I would say probably half of the time like maybe 3 out of 7 days, I might have a snack in the afternoon.
Okay. And what are you snacking on when you have a snack?
It could be protein. It could be it could be a piece of turkey. It could be a yogurt. It could be popcorn. I mean.
Okay. Okay. And are you giving yourself ample recovery time?
Maybe not.
Okay. So
I think that's probably true. I have
increased,
like, not had as much rest days. Like I would normally have one rest day, and that rest day might be where I got 5,000 steps.
Yes.
Whereas now my rest day is probably still, getting 10,000 steps.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. And so listen, I'm just going to kumbaya with you for a minute, because as a personal trainer, I cannot underestimate enough or overstate enough the importance of recovery. How old are you?
48.
Yeah. As we age, we need that recovery time. It's really, really important because, this is not most of us in No BS, but for some of us that are really, really into working out and stressing our bodies, the more we age, the more recovery we need. Because if you think about how our bodies lose weight, they have to feel safe and untaxed for that to happen. And when you're ramping up your steps and you're running and you're training, your body is holding on to everything it can to try and repair you. So my advice to you is, if you're not increasing your snacking, because that was my first question, is like, because, sometimes those of us that start, doing more, we're like, oh, I think I'm hungrier, right? Or I think I need extra stuff. Or we start following the advice of a personal trainer who usually tells you to eat 6 times a day or something ridiculous like that, right? But so that was my first question, but it doesn't seem like you're doing that or anything out of ordinary. So if you're sure about your overeats, and I really encourage you to keep collecting impeccable data, and if there's ever a time, Anna, that you're not sure if it was an overeat, I want you to start putting question marks instead of like, oh, sure, I think I did, right? Because that's going to shed some light. And then maybe there's some overeating that maybe you're not exactly sure about that possibly could be. So that's the first thing. The second thing is, make sure you're giving yourself ample recovery time. Do you happen to wear like an Oura ring or anything like that?
I wear an Apple Watch.
Okay. So your Apple Watch should give you some, do you sleep in it and stuff? Does it give you feedback?
I don't sleep in it. I could.
Okay.
Usually I throw it on the charger and then I don't put it back on until the morning.
Yeah. That's exactly why I went to the Oura Ring, because I didn't ever want to sleep in a watch, but yeah, you maybe try, like, just for the next couple of weeks, wear it and see what it says about your recovery. Cause it should monitor like your heart rate and your sleeping heart rate and your deep sleep and all that stuff. And it will give you some good information. I mean, it's not 100% accurate, right? Thing that you wear on your wrist, but it'll give you some good feedback about your recovery. Because my hunch is that that's what's happening for you, is that you've ramped up your activity and now your body is in like what the fuck mode. And it's like, it's just trying to hold on to water. And so, the fact that you're continuing to get in your water is super, super important. But yeah, I would say give it another week or two and let's see what happens with the scale. Really dial in doable hunger, like really be sure, make sure that you're eating, in the morning when you're hungry, make sure you're stopping it enough, getting your water in, and start checking in on that recovery. And if you have to pull back just a little bit on some of your training, that's totally up to you, but the most important thing I want to say, Anna, is don't freak out.
Okay.
Because freaking out is never going to help you. It's only going to add to that cortisol. Right? So just stay calm. Just really rest on your confidence in your data and just say, you know what? I'm just going to trust that my body will do what it needs to, and it will release the weight when it's ready. Right. I always like to think about weight loss as like a group project. It's like you, which is your habits, doable hunger, making a plan, water, sleep, that's you. And then there's your body, right? Your body also has a part of the group project, and that's the shit that we don't know, right? Like it's hormones, it's stress, it's like pooping, it's sickness, it's all the things, right? And the scale, it just writes the conclusion of the paragraphs from your body and yourself. The scale just spits out a number, but it takes into account all the parts that you wrote and that your body wrote. And so if you're confident in your part, if you're like, look, I wrote my part, I've got a topic sentence, I did my part. The body is also the expert. And so it did its part. So if you're confident in your habits, don't freak out. Now, I want you to tag me in Facebook if after a couple of weeks the scale is still ticking up. Okay. Because then we'll want to start looking at if there's any foods that we might could start 1% leveling up.
Okay. Sounds good.
But let's save that. Let's not do that unless we have to, because I'm assuming you really like the way you eat right now.
I do. And that's part of the, you know, reason that I was like, well, let me just try ramping up a little bit of exercise, see if that will kind of spark things.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
In the downward direction.
Right. And you know, it was a great thought, and good for you for trying it and being so willing. I mean, that's amazing, which tells me that you're willing to try other things too. Right. So maybe back off a little bit on that. You know, make sure you're dialed in on your doable hunger. If you ever have a question, put a question mark on that habit tracker, and then tag me in a couple of weeks and let me know where you're at. And we'll figure this out. Don't you worry.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome, hon. All right. See ya. All right. All right, Diane, we got time for one more. Here we go. Promote to panelist. All right. I do love to exercise, y'all. And I wish you could out-exercise your bad diet, because I would be really good at that. I love it. I love the feeling you get from exercise. Okay. Hopefully she's coming up. I promoted you. I'm trying again. Let me try one more time, Diane. I see your hand raised. Oh, here she comes. Oh, the Q&A. Yes. Okay, Diane, hold on for a second when you come on. Let me look at the Q&A. I forgot to have it open. Hold on just a second. Hey, Diane, hold on just a second. Let me see what's in the Q&A. We'll answer it together, Diane. Maybe you can give some good advice too. All right. Oh, Elizabeth. Oh, I already got you, Elizabeth. Okay. I think Elizabeth, you were the first one that got coached, right? Okay. Let's see. Anonymous attendee says, I'm thinking of stopping the use of the habit tracker. If we are consistently hitting most all areas over the 80% goal as taught in phases of change, should we keep tracking so specifically? Okay. So anonymous attendee, that's totally up to you. Why don't you do it and see what happens? I'm a big fan of, I don't know, let's fuck around and find out, right? Like, let's try it and see. Now, one thing I would question is like, you know, what's your motivation behind it? Like, what's your thought process behind the tracking? Is it because you don't like, you know, the time it takes or something like that? Like, just ask yourself for the reason. But if you're just like, well, I just want to see what happens if I don't track, sure. I mean, just try it and see. The habit tracker, I love to do the habit tracker mostly because I like to see that I'm getting 80% or more on most of my habits. I like the shameless gold star that it gives me. But if you're not getting that kind of hit, then let's just see. Let's see. I mean, it's not, you know, there's no rules in no BS. You can do whatever the hell you want, you know, track, don't track, whatever works for you. But if you've had success with it and you're in maintenance and you want to give it a try not tracking, sure, try it and see what happens. So hope that answers your question. I love that no BS isn't rules. What is it? If you're a Pelotoner, Dennis Morton says, he makes suggestions, we make decisions. So there you go. Okay, Diane. What are we talking about? Oh, you're muted. Okay. There you go.
All right. Hi.
Hi.
So I guess what I'm looking for is pearls of wisdom. I'm currently out of my maintenance range, but my maintenance range is pretty tight.
Okay.
And the reason why my maintenance range is tight is because for my entire life, which has been long, I have been someone who can lose the weight, and I've always kind of like, I've never really had to lose a whole lot of weight. I've mostly 10 to 15 pounds or 18 pounds, something like that.
Okay.
And I can always lose it. I get motivated, or I decide, okay, today's the day and I'm going to do this. And then I do it. And then I feel really great. And then, I keep it off for about 6 months, and then slowly but surely it starts to come back to where I wind up where I started.
Okay.
And so I started No BS in October of 22.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I lost somewhere between, I don't know, it was like 15 pounds maybe by the end of the year.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I felt great. All my clothes fit great. And I was really happy, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I was that person. I was that person that you're supposed to be. And, you know, I did okay. I went down to Fort Worth for 10 weeks to help my daughter because she had a baby. And, you know,
I didn't come to see me, Diane.
I did not come to see you. I'm so sorry.
Next time.
I was busy cooking for my daughter. And I got below my lower point of maintenance. Mm-hmm. I felt really sassy. I've got this nailed. I'm never gaining again. You know, mm-hmm. after of course, millions of times of doing this gaining thing. And by the time I left Fort Worth in early March, by April, I was out of my range.
Okay. So it's interesting to hear you talk about what happened, like on the scale. Can you tell me what happened with your habits?
Yes. I mean, okay. I have always been a planner. So the planning of the meals and stuff, you know, where I'm not good, I'm good at doable hunger. I'm not good at the other side of the equation because I've always been a portion control person.
Okay. So you're okay. Not good at stopping it enough.
Well, I think I am good because I serve myself enough.
Oh, so you're not good at stopping it enough.
No, I stop after I serve myself enough. I stop.
Right. But stopping it enough, right, means like your stomach has had enough. So are you using your mind to stop it enough versus your stomach? Is that what I'm hearing you say?
I'm using, you know, I've had so many, you know, diet rules ingrained over the years. You know, yeah. I know what a portion looks like. You know, you did Weight Watchers. I did Weight Watchers. Yeah. I know what a portion looks like. So yeah. I serve myself a portion. And I figured that's enough. And then when I'm done, that's it.
Well, guess what, okay. Diane, you're wrong.
But,
right?
I absolutely cannot figure out the enough side of the equation in terms of my stomach.
Okay. So let's think about this. Can we just lean into the possibility that I might be able to figure out the possibility of my stomach?
Okay. Yes. I mean, like I could eat 3 bites and say, okay, that's enough.
No. It's not a decision. Like, see here, you're using your head. Like, so this is like, I love this. I love this so much because listen, girl, you are not alone in this, right?
I don't love
we
this.
We want the portion to be appropriate. We should be able to eat a portion, right? This is what our brain thinks. But here's what I want to say, right? Like for you, like when's the last time you did Weight Watchers? How many years ago?
Oh God. 1993 or something like
okay.
that.
Okay. Back when they were doing it differently. Right. Like 1993. Okay. Yeah. Okay. So as we get older, which I mean, you're like what, 35, 40?
40.
Y'all that are listening 70. On the podcast, you need to watch this replay on the website so you can see how beautiful Diane is. She is stunning.
Okay. I just turned 70 in December.
Okay. I got to get off this call right now. I just can't even with you, Diane. Seriously. Oh my gosh. Okay. But here's what I want to say. 70-year-olds, they don't need as much as we
need. I hate that.
I'm sorry, but it's true. It's true. And listen, here's the thing. Here, okay, I want to offer you this.
Okay.
You don't have to eat less. Just fall in love with the weight that you are right now.
Yeah, see, here's my problem with that. It doesn't, you know, like if you would probably look at me and say, well, you don't look like you're overweight. Okay, but the problem is my wardrobe, you know, like, nothing fits where I am now.
Go buy new clothes.
No, I can't. That's
okay.
Another.
Then eat less.
Okay.
I'm presenting you with so many options, Diane. You got
to. I guess I'm just gonna. It makes me so mad that I have to eat. It seems like when you get older, you ought to get to do something fun, like. Seriously. And now you're telling me
you can do something fun, buy new clothes and stop giving a shit about how much.
No, I can't because I okay. look frumpy in bigger, bigger size. I'm
then eat less.
Okay. I'll eat.
Have you heard about the magic pill that we offer at NoBS that allows you to stay at your maintenance weight and eat whatever you want? Oh, that's because it doesn't exist. We don't sell it. This is what you have to do, Diane. You have to eat less.
I know. I guess I do. I mean, I guess.
But here's the thing. You're describing it in a way that feels like shit. So you're never going to do it when you're thinking about it in the way that you're thinking about it. I want you to think about what eating less will give you instead of what it's going to take away from you.
Okay. What about, so let's go with the enough side of the equation. All right. Let's say because I'm still like, I'm just so hung up on the portion thing. So let's say I take the portion and I cut the portion in half. Okay. Mm-hmm. And put that on my plate.
Yeah.
Along with my little bitty vegetables. Okay. And let's say I eat that. Uh-huh. All right. And it's mostly dinner. It's not the other meals.
Well, that's good. So we don't have to do it all day long. It's just one time. Okay.
I'm pretty sure it's just one time.
Okay, great.
I could be wrong.
Okay. We'll start there and see what happens. Maybe we could leave the other meals alone and we just have to work on dinner. That'd be awesome.
We'll start at dinner.
Big fan of changing as little as possible.
Yes. Okay. We're going to take baby steps. All right. Okay. So let's just say I cut down my dinner portion and let's say I eat at 6 o'clock and by 8 o'clock, my stomach is rumbling.
Okay.
I don't want to eat at 8 o'clock. So what do I do? Just like,
don't eat at 8 o'clock.
But what if my stomach is like growling a whole bunch?
Well,
go to bed.
Die, probably. Yeah. Go to bed, drink some water, go to bed. I mean, or eat. Like you're putting yourself in a lose-lose, right? So, which is fine. We can be in a lose-lose. You're cracking me up. I feel like we could go out and have some drinks and have the best time, Diane. Okay. But I feel like you're putting yourself in a lose-lose situation, which is fine. You can be in a lose-lose. Just pick the easier lose for you. Pick the lose that you want the most. I mean, can either buy new clothes and be happy where you are, which you are very adamant that you don't want to do that. Okay, fine. So, or you can eat less, and eating less might mean, I also just want to point out what you think eating less is. You immediately went to half a portion. What if it's not? What if it's like 3/4 of a portion or 7/8? Oh shit. I'm not good at math.
Yeah.
Some other fraction, of something, right? Okay. I used to be a teacher, right?
Yeah.
What if it's not half a portion? Your brain is creating this scenario that is like horrific. Like you get to eat like 2 bites of chicken and one broccoli. That's not even true. Like, why don't you just start with this? Here's my challenge to you, Diane.
Okay.
My challenge to you right now is to leave 2 to 3 bites at dinner every night. Just 2 to 3 bites, like normal size bites, not like, you know, gargantuan bites and not like, you know, a pea. Two to three bites. Maybe just even start with 2 if 3 is like overwhelming. 2 bites, just leave it.
Right.
And let's see what happens. Because what if that's all you need to do? Wouldn't that be awesome?
I think the other thing is that I'm really kind of, I'm afraid of being overly hungry because I'm afraid that I will like find myself in the refrigerator or the pantry because I've become so hungry. Okay. So I am a little bit afraid of that.
Okay. So I just want you to be curious, right? Like the best antidote that we have to fear is curiosity. Like, can we just be curious to see what would happen? Like if it happens that you find yourself in the fridge eating your face off, well, we'll reassess.
Okay.
Right? We'll either work on the thinking around that or we'll eat a couple bites more at dinner. Like there's options, but let's just be curious and see what happens if we
try. All right, I'm going to eat less. Dang.
You're choosing to eat less. Well, look at what you're gaining. You get to keep all your clothes. Also, you get to prove to yourself that you do know how to solve this. Because right now you're sitting in a space of like, I don't know what to do. And that's not true. Because if you got down to your maintenance range before where you wanted to be, it was because you were eating less. So you've actually already done the eating less part. You just stopped doing it.
I think you're right about that. I'll have to give you that one. Okay. I'll give you that one.
1 point for Christy, 17 points for Diane, because she's so beautiful. All right. So this is what I want you to do. I want you to leave 2 bites at dinner every night for the next 2 weeks. And let's see what happens on the scale.
All right. I'll write you on Facebook.
I hope you do.
All right.
All right. Have a good night, hon. See you.
All right. Thanks. Bye.
Sorry, we went over everybody. Let me give you the homework assignment just in case those of you that hung on for the homework assignment, here's your homework assignment about building belief by using your doubt. So here's what I would love for y'all to do. If you are a person who is doubting your maintenance a little bit, I want you to do a couple of things. Number one, write about why you believe keeping your weight off is possible for them. I said that earlier. Just write a few sentences out. Like, what's different about this time? Why is it possible for me? Okay. And then I want you to think about your process that you've created that led to weight loss. And I want you to fall in love with that. Like, what do you love about that process? Okay. Journal about that. Journal about your process, the story behind it, why you love it, why you'll keep doing it, and then make sure you're keeping impeccable data, right? Make sure you're using your data to reward yourself. Make sure you're using your data to sort of show you where anything might be slipping a little bit so you can get right back into action. And the last part of your homework is I'll see you month after next for our next maintenance call. Okay, thanks for coming. Thanks for staying late. Thanks for the backup, Heather. You were amazing. I love you all. See ya.